glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. We hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Well, we're certainly glad you're here on this Friday morning, March 22nd, 2013. I'm glad you're here, Jason. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And lots to recap, get caught up on. Thanks to many of you that have been praying up my health. I think I'm starting to get a little better, and the birthday wishes, I appreciate those too. And thank you, Jason, for being available on this, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. So, lots going on.
Yeah, tons going on. How are you doing?
You know what? It's all summed up. I want to hand this to you because I don't think anyone would believe that was a first meal I had last night, Chinese food in the last, I guess, 4 or 5 days, and that was my fortune in the meal. Believe it or not, read that.
It says on the one side, his fortune is you'll never find a better sparring partner than adversity, and on the other side, it has a learn Chinese. And the learn Chinese word for him is to catch a cold.
Yes. So I'm hopefully almost through with my cold. I finally went to a doctor yesterday, and they gave me some antibiotics and some nasal stuff, and they tell me that I should be A-OK in the coming days. So.
Well, maybe by Sunday, because your lucky number is 24.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's my birthday, the 24th.
There you go.
It's all
look
coming
at
together.
That. Oh,
so.
Man.
Oh, anyways, I'm feeling a little better and got a good meal in me, and I guess we're ready to go. Lots to get caught up on. I know people have been emailing me about the trip recap. They want to hear all about it, and I know this coming week you're going to have a special Seder meal, and I know that you and Tasha and the Schiffo family have some special news for everyone.
Oh, yeah. Well, we found out post our trip to Israel that Tasha said it great. She said it at church. She said when she was traveling through Israel, she kept seeing a phenomena over and over and over again, which were young, pregnant Israeli women of the Orthodox nature. And she just kept saying, wow, it seems like everybody in Israel is pregnant. Well, now we know that's a truism because she also was pregnant.
The foreshadowing.
Yeah, so when we got home, she found out that she was pregnant. So, yay God, it'll be our fourth Schiffo. We're slowly trying to dominate the northern corner of Mahomet.
You're adding your own Orthodox family there?
Well, you know, I mean, I think I tweeted it the other day on Facebook. I said, you know, what's the best church growth measure? Start at home. So,
yes.
You know, we're the fastest growing church by one, so...
Maybe you should start a series on Song of Solomon and help foster that truth growth with other members. So, everyone, we're glad you could join us on this Friday, March 22nd. A lot going on. I know March Madness has started, and so people are watching a lot of basketball, but don't let that eclipse your time in God's Word. And the adversity with that fortune, yeah. You know, though I don't believe in fortunes and so forth, I do believe in God's providence, but I don't think he uniquely put that fortune in so I could get it. But the adversity that I've experienced, and this has been very unique for me, as sick as I've been, and it's affected everything. I just laid in bed. I couldn't even read. You know, at least if you're sick in bed, you can catch up on some reading. It was hard to do that other than my morning devotional time, and sometimes I'd close out the evening with reading. But I have to say, it's probably been my best 4 days of just worshiping God. Thankful that, I mean, as bad as I felt, people feel a lot worse in other places. I have medicines that I can take. I have a heated house. I have a roof over my head. You know, there's food in the refrigerator, the luxury that I live in, the house, the friendships. And it's like part of me just kept thanking God for various things. And I don't know, at my core, I think that trip to Israel left an impression on me, that eternal perspective. And that keeps ringing in my head, that in eternity's sake, you know, this is just a small part of life.
Yeah.
And I just have reveled into being close to God. And I kept thinking, God, just let this continue every day, every morning, every evening, before I make calls, before I go out. Of course, my longest journey was to the mailbox. So other than
well, we drove up. My son said, Jacob said, well, he's got to go a long way to the mailbox. So don't feel bad.
Yeah.
He thinks it's a long way.
But I've had a great and glorious time with God. And I mean, certainly I want to get well, but I said, Lord, if getting sick or feeling this way is going to draw me closer to you, or any kind of adversity, if it draws you closer to God, it's a win. Yeah. So I have felt fortunate that God has really ministered to me in various ways. So, and then along with some friends that have emailed me and sent me encouraging devotional thoughts. And I know you and others have called and said, can we pick up anything? Do you need food delivered? And I restrained as much as I like to say, yes, yes, anyone bring me food. God's been good and provided. So.
Yeah, well, and you know, and I think too, I mean, James says it in chapter 1. James says, consider it pure joy, my friends, whenever you face trials or adversity of any kind. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. You know, I think that in your situation, I've been sick like this many times, where it's so easy to have your own kind of pity party. You know, it's so easy to go, oh, woe is me, it's so horrible, it's so bad, and yet it seems to me as though the writer in the Bible says that when you come against something like that, I mean, it's supposed to be joyful, because it's a moment where you've almost got to stop, and it's just you and the Lord, and you've just got to revel in the fact that you've still got breath, you've still got life, the Lord is still good. You know, I mean, I just think it's fascinating.
Well, I've always thought, because I'm rarely sick. I mean, the last time I was sick was a year ago when I returned from an Israel trip. So it's been a whole year. And sometimes getting sick reminds me, generally have a very grateful heart for health and for everything that the Lord's provided. But it does remind me how passing your life can be. And just I just found myself just reveling in God's goodness and worshiping him and thanking him. And I don't know if you remembered one of our pilgrims from the Israel trip said I was lecturing, but I think that's the word he was using. I don't know if he felt like I was lecturing, but you know, when God has given us the ability to go to Israel or to enjoy, I mean, all of us Americans, we got it so good that we really give up our rights to complain, to whine, to moan. We have been given so much, mm-hmm. let alone eternity, let alone the privilege of having a relationship with Jesus Christ, to have the Holy Spirit in us. We give up the right to be whiners. And I kind of shared that with everyone because, you know, when you weigh everything together, it's like we have been given everything. And then the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave up all of heaven, came to earth to die for us, and the brutality he went through, what can we really whine about?
Hey, you know, I think in terms of your fortune there, adversity. And I think that adversity is sometimes one of the places or one of the markers where it really tests our spiritual maturity. I think that some of us would say, oh, I'm so spiritually mature, I know so much. And then when we come into adversity, it really shines a light into really how spiritually mature are we, or do we just know a lot of mm-hmm. things? I mean, you know, it's possible that I can read my Bible and know so much about the Bible, and yet come into a moment where I get ill, or somebody in my family gets ill, or we come into a moment of real adversity, and I can't live any of it out because I just know it. You know, but yet I would think that I'm spiritually mature. I think I saw it or I posted it. I don't know what I did. But there was a video by a gentleman who wrote a book that I read last year called Dangerous Calling. His name's Paul Tripp. And he posted this great video where the gentleman interviewing him said, how do you differentiate spiritual maturity from following God? And he goes, well, that's a great question. He goes, I don't really know how to tell you, but I'm going to share a story. He said, I was with my wife a number of months ago, and she had a hole in her retina. Somehow there was this hole in her retina, and we went to the doctor. And he said, I decided to go on the appointment with her because she's my wife and I love her. So he said, I went as moral support, and I'm sitting in the office, and it turns out that she has three holes in her retina. Mm. And he goes, when I found out she had three holes in her retina and we were going to be in the doctor's office for about 8 hours, he goes, my first inclination was to say, oh, my whole day is screwed up now. My whole day is shot. I mean, I can't believe this. And he goes, and then I remembered that this is the woman that I vowed to lay my life down for, that I was going to be with forever and ever, that I was going to love till death do us part. And he goes, and I knew that, but it didn't stop my first inclination of being, wow, my day is so screwed up. And so he said, it's this moment of adversity that I entered into that shined a light into maybe how spiritually immature I am. Mm. And how I thought I was so good because I knew. And he's a pastor. He goes, I thought I was so sure I knew all these things. I know so much. And he goes, in that moment, I realized that I'm still a man. And he uses this a lot in his book and in different places. He goes, I realized I'm still a man in the midst of my sanctification. I'm still a man in the midst of the storm, as James would say it, trying to figure out what it means to follow God in the midst of my own humanity, my own fallenness.
Yeah, fighting that flesh.
Yeah, and I think that we do that. So I think that, you know, you can say, oh, I'm sick. And now I'm going to have church. Or you can say I'm sick and my whole life screwed up and I just hate this and what the God must be mad at me and da-da-da-da-da. I mean, you have two choices.
Mm-hmm.
And so which one are you going to choose? And so, you know, I mean, I think that we've always got to have an ear towards heaven and say, you know, well, how in this moment, you know, I think I prayed like this before our program. I said, you know, how much do we have to start real big and how much do we have to zero in to find God? Because we have to keep zeroing in, keep focusing, keep trying to figure out because God's in there and we've got to find him. And if we don't, then we're going to get stuck on our own adversity, our own stuff, and we're going to become whiners and complainers yeah. instead of worshipers.
An illustration that I've given in the past is like it's easy to be friendly and nice and caring and joyful on the cruise ship. You know, yeah. when you're being tended to and your needs are being met and everything's going great. But it's when you're in line. And in my case, it's like when I'm really hungry, when I'm really tired and I'm in a crowd and people are pushing. That's when I'll operate in the flesh. Yeah. And it's like, you know, that's the time when your true character comes out. And so hopefully these refining fires, the process of being sanctified, of drawn on Christ's strength, of allowing him to work in and through you, will be more kingdom purposeful, if you will, or you know, hopefully will be the fragrance of Christ. And so, anyways, so I hope for an application. I always try to find an application for everyone else. So I'm hoping today that you're tuned in by providence, that God wants to maybe refine you or have you think through how do you respond or react to people when you're aggravated or tired or in line and you're impatient. Do you lash out? That's not a good thing for a Christ follower. And that's really the proof in the pudding. How faithful are you following him when you don't want to be patient or kind or considerate or compassionate? And so hopefully whether you're sick or whether maybe some of you have received some really heartbreaking news today, or maybe some of you are battling with cancer, or maybe some of you have lost a loved one, or some things that are almost beyond that we can handle in the flesh, draw on God's strength, and he'll see you through. He cares for you, and the scriptures do say, cast your cares on him because he cares for you.
Yeah, that's so true.
Amen. We serve a great God.
Well, hey, so Seder meal.
Yeah, I was going to say.
At the Community Evangelical Free Church, it'll be on Thursday, I believe that's the 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday the 28th at 6 p.m. We're going to be celebrating a Seder meal. We're going to walk through that ordered, arranged Jewish meal, which harkens all the way back to the Exodus. And we do our Seder a little bit different. We spend a lot of time honoring the Jewish traditions, but at the same time finding Jesus in there, finding all the places where we see Jesus. I mean, we know that our Jewish brothers and sisters back in the Exodus used the lamb's blood over the door frame, and the blood of the lamb protected them from the angel of death. And so there's this connotation of Christ in there. And so we want to just keep pointing through this Seder meal. Where is Jesus at in here? Because the Old Testament is all about the revelation of Christ to come. And so we want to keep pointing that out. So that's going to be at 6 p.m. on the 28th. And you can RSVP at tschifo@gmail.com. That's tschifo@gmail.com, and that'll go right to my wife, and my wife will she'll set you up with a dish you could bring to share. There's no cost. It's free. You just got to bring something to share, and if you can't bring something to share, then just bring yourself and share yourself. That'll be wonderful. We'd love to have you. So we're looking forward to that. And then the day after, on Friday, we do something that's interesting. It came out of first year I was at the church. They said, what are we going to do for Good Friday? And I said, well, we could do this, this, or this. And they said, oh, you know, we really don't want to do that. Maybe we just shouldn't do anything. And I'm like, Christ goes to the cross. We have to do something. I mean, you can't not do anything. So I came up with an idea called a silent service, and I did it because I didn't want to have any volunteers. There's no volunteers required to run this or to do it. And what we do is we set up.
And the reason you didn't want volunteers is to give people at the church a rest, and they didn't have to be responsible.
Give them an opportunity to do it themselves. Because Easter is tough. I mean, Easter is like the Super Bowl. You've got a Seder meal. You've got Palm Sunday, a Seder meal. You've got Good Friday. You've got Easter Sunday. Not only do our people have their work and their lives and all that, but for a lot of people, liturgically, that's an emotional week. I mean, every emotion that's imaginable you will experience during Easter week. If you're touching the scriptures, if your heart's beating for Jesus, you'll feel the momentous, triumphant entry. You'll feel the longing of wanting to be with your friends just a little bit longer, but knowing that you have this thing that you have to do, and this kind of, Father, please take this cup from me, but I'll do whatever you want. And then this heartbreaking, heart-wrenching moment at the cross where it is finished. But then you come into Sunday. I mean, now, you know, in a week, Sunday, all of a sudden, resurrection, hallelujah, Jesus has conquered the grave. I mean, you go to a funeral, you attend a wedding, you come into the kingdom. You have every imaginable emotion expressed in that short span of time. If you don't think the disciples weren't messed up after that week, I mean, that week was probably so tough on them. They needed counseling big time. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to send you the counselor, the Holy Spirit, because he knew that they were going to need some help after that week. It was going to be tough. And I'm kidding just a little bit. But the Good Friday service, we call it a silent service. You come in, and what we do is we have stations set up, stations of the cross and that, but not in the Catholic sense. And you go at your own pace, your own way God leads your heart, and you start at the Last Supper, and you end with the cross, and you go on. Everybody goes on their own journey, and
There's a lot of visual aids.
It's very visual. It's very tactile. You touch things. Things touch you. You watch things. You see things. I mean, a lot of thought has been put into how this is going to interact with you.
And in fact, it was so wonderful last year, and it was the first time I had ever attended such a service like that. I wanted to do whole weeks of promo on it because I thought every church should have something like this, because it was at your own pace and you could stay or linger in each of these different settings, and there were some hands-on things that people would do and interact, and I thought, wow, is it fantastic. And this is open to everyone.
It's
and
open to anybody.
Time is
you
it?
Don't have to. It's going to start at 6:30 p.m. and it'll run until the last people leave, usually around 8:30 or 9. And you know what? I mean, it was really, some of it was so God. It was amazing the way God weaved and worked through it, because I created these video clips to play during it. Like I said, it's some parts that are very visual. And I messed up when I exported the video, and I didn't export the sound. And so the video clips, because I had messed up, but not really, the video clips had no sound. And I realized how powerful it was after the first few people came out to see video of the crucifixion, the cross, to see video of the Last Supper, to see all these things, but not have any sound. Because we already know in our mind what it looks like, sounds like, feels like, and all those things. But to not have that, it creates kind of a stark, I guess maybe artistic terms, it creates kind of a stark barrier between us and it, almost creates a little bit of distance. But still, our heart knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so there's just something that happens in there. So I would love to invite everybody out. And then, of course, our church, Easter morning, we have a breakfast. It starts at 9:15 in the morning. It's free, a full breakfast, pancakes, bacon, sausage, the whole nine yards. And then Easter worship service at 10:45.
Did you say bacon? Did you say sausage?
Oh, man, it is the Cadillac.
I know of 20 people that were really looking forward to those two items when they returned.
So it's going to be... we call it the Cadillac of Easter breakfast. So we roll out all the goodens, all the fixins, all the trimmins, and then at 10:45, we're just going to talk about the resurrection and why the resurrection matters and why the resurrection changes every single thing.
Okay, so a quick recap on the time for Thursday, the time for Friday.
Sure. So Seder meal is going to be at 6 p.m. on the 28th. The 29th at 6:30 is going to be the silent Good Friday service. Sunday morning, 9:15 for the breakfast. At 10:45, we're going to talk about resurrection.
And what's your church phone number if people need more information or directions?
Sure. They can reach us at 217-586-5165. That's 217-586-5165. And they can also go to our website at communityfreechurch.com. That's communityfreechurch.com.
This paid announcement has been sponsored by the NOAA. Actually, I do want to publicly thank your church and the church family for supporting Great News Radio monthly almost from the very beginning for many, many years. And we appreciate the partnership you have had, Jason. And thank you to your elders and deacons for allowing you to share Wednesdays and Fridays with me and some Mondays and Tuesdays and times to Israel and other things that you've been doing.
Well, you don't have to thank us because we've had this conversation. In fact, we just had a missions meeting the other night. And we discuss all our missionaries. And I think that it was said during that meeting that it's undeniable the work that Great News Radio is doing. It's undeniable the way that Great News Radio is tenaciously reaching people and touching people with the gospel. And that there's not a day that doesn't go by where you're not doing that. And we know personally the work schedule that you keep up and the ways that you serve the Lord. So I think if we could double or triple the money, we would.
Well, yeah. Well, thanks. Well, one thing I will say, and this is being a little braggadocious, is that a word? In my 17 years with Jewel, or 16 and a half years with Jewel, I had never missed a day. Next month, it'll be 18 years we've been broadcasting, and I think I've only missed one, possibly two morning programs, and one was when I was passing a kidney stone at Carl. So, you know, I've had a pretty good record, but thank you, God, again, all the health and, you know, the wherewithal and the persistence and everything is really, it's been a gift from him. No real credit to me other than, you know, thank you, Lord, that you're allowing me to proclaim his name, hopefully clearly and effectively, and all the great hosts and the programming that we get to enjoy and play over the air. So,
well, somebody reminded me the other day because I said, it was really funny because on Sunday morning I was like, oh, I'm ready. And then I got to Sunday morning and I realized I'm really tired. But afterwards, later on in the night, a friend called me on the phone and he says, hey, how you doing? And I go, oh, man, I shouldn't have come back so soon. I said I was tired. And he goes, doesn't matter if you're good. God's always good.
Yes.
And I really said, you're right. I'm going to do the best I can do, but God's always good.
Yeah.
And God's always, you know, I mean, God's going to take my crooked sticks and make them straight. You know, as Isaiah says, my best is filthy rags, but God can clean them and use them to resurrect and reconcile and bring people to him. So yeah. Thank God for God.
Well, that's kind of what I did on Monday and Tuesday. I didn't have much of a voice, and I felt terrible, but I thought, hey, you can't go wrong reading God's Word. And so some of my devotional time was John chapter 14 and 15, as you probably know, great chapters. Great things are communicated, and I just read some of those and then played some God-honoring music and just trusted God would use it and got some good feedback from some people. And I'm like, thank you, God, because in spite of me, God, you can still accomplish your will, and we serve a great God that desires to work in and through us when we avail ourselves to him. But even when we don't do a very good job at that, he'll still accomplish his purposes. Yeah. Well, hey, we're out of time, and we haven't got to even recap some of the Israel trip, but I think that'll come in the days ahead, I'm sure. And I know God put about, 10 or 15 new messages on your heart from that trip.
Yeah.
And so there'll be lots more to say and share in the days ahead. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.